It was the cramps that once sang, I'm a human fly, I say F-L-Y, I say buzz, buzz, buzz. And it's just because I'm a human fly, and I don't know why I got 96 tears in 96 eyes. I think that sums it up. The Fly was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, I'm here with two people who care about this gym volleyball game. It's Camille Adams.
I care, but I'm not going to dive.
And Robin Hitchcock.
I am going to this prom.
You have a carry update, Camila.
Yeah, okay,
we have listener feedback, important feedback.
Listener feedback from the Brad Keller. Hi, Brad. He said he listened to our episode, great stuff, and that's his quote, not mine. So he wants to he wants to go into a little bit about, we were all confused about how Carrie had not get her period until she was 17. We didn't know the source material, blah, blah, blah. So he had some thoughts. I read the book once when I was in high school, and I don't know why this is the detail I remember. It's addressed in the book. There's a section where the nebby gym teacher is waiting outside the principal's office for Carrie to come out after the shower incident. Her inner monologue goes something like, how does this girl not know what a period was and what to do? She's 17. I remember I got mine when I was 10 and I came running out of the bathroom yelling, Mama, I'm on the rag. Then again, she has a weird family and her mother is crazy. Maybe it runs in the family. I swear there's something later where it's like she's telekinetic and she's different. So different things happen at different times to people who are different. Since Stephen King paid so much attention to it, I came up with a theory that the telekinesis manifested because of it. Like how a lot of the X-Men didn't have powers until they hit puberty.
Yeah, I definitely think he's right that it is totally meant to be tied to burgeoning adolescence.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why he put Herman Arkey in it, but didn't think too hard about that. Usually doesn't happen when you're 17.
Right, right, right.
So maybe she's telekinetically holding her uterine lining in place.
Apparently.
Without even really knowing what it is or what it's about. Or
which would be
on.
Exhausting.
And then once she stopped doing that, she was able, that was using up all of her telekinesis. That was it. And then it was done. She was like, time to blow shit up.
But periods ruin everything.
The detail about, I got it when I was 10. So clearly he's aware of when it normally happens. So one way or another, right. This is a deliberate choice.
Yes.
And it's not just to make it less skeevy age-wise, because I've read the book It, so I know he has no interest, you know, about that bit part of the book.
I did not read it.
All of the children have sex for some reason.
When they're like 11, 12.
No.
And it's fairly detailed. So clearly, that wouldn't have stopped him. Like, it's one way or another, it was deliberate that, oh yeah.
Like, all at once, right? Like, it's like an orgy situation.
Oh my
situation.
God!
Yeah, and I've never read the book.
Somehow,
I don't read.
They somehow need to like, escape. It's like some kind of like sex magic. We're trapped in the thing, but if we all fuck.
Yeah.
And you're like 1,100 pages in at that point, so you're not going to stop. You're just like, all right.
I would very much like him to not be.
This is more descriptive than it probably needs to be.
And also doesn't need to be, period.
No. Right. No.
Just doesn't need to be.
Yes.
What are we talking? Carrie, we gave 91 and 2/3. That's third place. That's our third highest ranked movie. For a quick look at our top 10, still Get Out in first place, 95, followed by Fight Club, 92 and a third. Then Carrie, Silence of the Lambs is just behind that. Those are the only four in the 90s. And then in the high 80s, Alien, Men in Black, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghost, and Speed. And I'd like to congratulate me and Camila on just bowling over Robin and making it so much horror hype. Get Out, Carrie, Silence of the Lambs, Alien.
I gave all of those movies high scores.
Yeah. No. You just don't like bad horror is what we've... And There's a lot of it, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't call The Fly bad horror.
Neither would I
call it very good horror.
I think this movie fucking rules.
It's pretty great.
Camila's making a face.
No, I mean, it's so difficult because it's just like. One of the ratings I read on Letterboxd was, what's the star number equivalent to, this is a great movie, but it ruined my night? Like, and that's where I am.
Yeah. See a lot of those.
I also see, that's a very common experience.
Yeah, like it's just kind of like the same lines of like Requiem for a Dream where I'm concerned. Because like the last 30 minutes, I just literally took my glasses off and I was like, I can't watch this. Like, I no longer want to be able to focus.
My strategy is I always just pull my hair in front of my face because then it's like a finger screen. You know, it's like I can still kind of see what's happening, but it's not quite as gross. This movie's so gross.
And it's probably not in his five grossest movies.
I know.
Like, is mainstream. Right.
Shout out to the This Had Oscar Buzz episode. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember what Cronenberg movie it was, but they had a game time, which was, I'm going to read Cronenberg titles, and you have to say if that one is horny, gross, or yes. The answer is usually yes. Yeah,
this one especially.
Yes.
Oh,
and it turns so quickly because, like, all the sex is, like, 40 minutes in, and then he's fully gross at like 44 minutes in. Like, this is what you get.
What I do appreciate about this movie is like they don't waste any fucking time.
No.
Like, it's like he hit end credits, like the opening credits is like, boom, all right, this is what it's about. We're getting right into
it.
It's like, okay. And then we just bolt, just like blow right through the whole thing.
I have a crazy thing. Come to my lab. Okay.
Never go to a second location.
No.
I love how much of this movie happens because she just wants to fuck him so bad. And can you blame her?
No.
Yes.
Not at all. Because
what a handsome couple.
Yeah. It's fucking ridiculous.
Is this how they met?
No. They were dating.
They were already together. Yeah. Okay.
And like, they didn't want her. Initially, they didn't want him either. Initially,
well, who did they want? Are we?
Is that
it's in the this is all in the facts.
But don't we do plot summary first?
We do plot summary first.
Okay, all right. Tell me when to go.
Go.
Ronnie is a nosy reporter who meets scientist Seth Brundle at a party and decides to do a deep dive on him and his project to teleport matter. They hang out in his weird lab, turn a baboon inside out, and then Seth does a deep dive on Ronnie, if you know what I mean. Seth does steak science, figures out how to recalibrate the telepods for living tissue. They send a baboon through right side out. Ronnie's editor, who's also her ex, gets super jealous, which makes Seth get super jealous, so he makes the champagne drunk decision to put himself through the teleporter. Oops, a fly was in there too. He comes out basically Spider-Man who fucks, but becomes increasingly sugar-hungry, manic, and arrogant about his new purified superhuman status. Then he grows weird bug hairs, gets acne, and his body finally gets gross enough. He asks the computer to explain what's going on, and it says, sorry, this movie's called The Fly, and you're it. Everything gets extremely ridiculously gross. Ronnie finally shoots the revolting pile of special effects that Brundle Fly has become.
All right. Good times.
Yeah. Plenty of time to spare.
Great.
And you didn't even get into, what's his name?
Stalker dude?
Douchey magazine editor. This is very anti-magazine editor movie, by the way. This is blatant magazine editor discrimination, and I am not happy about it. No, you did mention it's there's too much of him. I mean,
wildly unprofessional. Also, do you know who should have played that role? He might have been too young at the time, but Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah.
Tony Goldwyn would have crushed it.
Yeah. In my head, I'm always like, oh, yeah, John Ritter. And it's like, oh, no, not John Ritter.
You're right.
Not John Ritter is playing this
does
part.
Does resemble
his
80s
name's
John
Ritter. It's John something, right?
I forget. Because I actually looked him up because I remember.
John Getz.
John Getz. I also looked him up because I'm like, what is this guy in?
Right.
And the answer is a lot of shit, but nothing super important.
Exactly. Because, yeah. I found him. He was handsome in this movie. He did not age well, but he was just like, he was terrible.
Tony.
He was fucking terrible.
What an awful guy.
Like, fucking locks thing. Like, the key with the lock. Like, I just shoot him
on sight. Give me my key back. No.
I beg your pardon.
That's not.
She should have changed that fucking lock.
Should have shot him on sight.
Why does everyone in this movie have a dumb name? Like, Brundle is weird but appropriate. But Veronica Quiff.
Oh, I miss that.
Yeah, I know. It's like there's just enough vowels in there to not make it. But
okay.
And John gets his Stathis Borins. Those are names.
For a really long time that his last name was Stathis. That sounds like it could be a last name. Yeah. And then he went by it. And then he was like, are you fucking Stathis Borins? And I was like, what?
That is just a collection of sounds.
Also. Also. I can't, again, obviously Jeff Goldblum is so fucking hot in this movie until he melts, but I find it really impressive that he got two beautiful women to fuck him on a pull-out couch.
I was thinking that too, and I'm like looking at it like them laying there all, you know, post-coital and whatnot, and I'm just like, man, you know, it's just one of those things, like, yeah, you're in like that first fucking 2 weeks of just like hot and heavy fucking, this is so great, and like, but like week three, you're like, maybe you want to invest in something else.
An actual bed.
After leading them into Jigsaw's lair. Like, no, this is where I live.
Right. We're going to go up 18 flights of stairs, no elevator.
Oh, my God.
And yet, he's the only... It's such a bullseye of casting to get someone as hot as he is that you believe doesn't know he's hot.
Yes. Right.
If that was Harrison Ford, that line where he's like, are you in... What is he says... you know, you're really cute. Am I?
Yeah.
I believe him saying it, and I wouldn't believe so many 80s hotties saying that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's because Jeff Goldblum is not, like, you sit him on a couch, and he's not moving, not talking. No, he is not a handsome man.
I mean, he's not exceptionally handsome.
I do not find him to be like, a handsome.
Absolutely not.
If he's just sitting there doing nothing, no. But the minute he starts to talk, the minute he starts to walk, the minute this man just starts to just ooze, like, yes, that's when his whole, he's charismatic as a motherfucker.
He oozes, and then later he oozes. The Fly was released August 15th of 1986, the 18th number one movie of that year, won that weekend with $7 million, beating fellow debuts Armed and Dangerous. That's a John Candy movie no one talks about.
I have no idea what it is.
Second place, $4.3 million. And Manhunter, the first Hannibal Lecter movie.
Such a good movie.
Debuted in eighth with $2.2 million. Not popular. It did also win its following weekend, $4.2 million, easily holding off newcomer Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. That's a good one. I haven't seen all of them, but the first two. A subject for last year's episode, which we will not recap here. Made a total of $40.4 million. That is 23rd place for 1986. Just behind Pretty in Pink, just ahead of Rocky IV. I assumed Rocky IV was a big hit, but...
That's the one with
Drago.
Mr. T, right?
No, three is Drago. With Mr. T. This is Ivan Drago.
Yeah, like, I would imagine that would have been much better.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah. Expensive Baubles.
Expensive Baubles.
This better have won Best Makeup, or I'm going to have to take a lap.
This is an Oscar-winning movie. Chris Wallace and Stephen Dupuy won the Academy Award for Best Makeup, beating Legend and Clan of the Cave Bear.
Nobody else stood a chance.
Correct.
Chris Wallace said he won the only Oscar because his name was first in the credits, and that was Cronenberg was deliberate, like, you guys did a lot. You're getting the first.
That's good job.
Yeah.
Nice recognition of credit where it's due.
But ran away with the Oscar. Goldblum was in the best actor race, but snubbed, widely seen as they don't give horror movies acting nominations.
I also think that Gina Davis could have gotten a best supporting nomination. She's really good. And I do, like, she won 2 years later. And I feel like that may have been a...
Grease in the wheels?
Yes, correct.
What did she win for?
The Accidental Tourist, in which she plays a manic pixie dream girl.
Okay. Really? Is it good?
I remember liking it. I saw it when I was 12.
Of course.
Yeah.
The original movie, The Fly, released in 1958 with Vincent Price, who did see this film and liked it until it got goopy. But he went to see it because Jeff Goldblum sent him a nice note, and he wanted to go see it. And he did like it. He just, it went a little far for Vincent Price.
I could just imagine. He's like, oh, dear.
I did watch this movie, the Vincent Price.
Oh, talk about it. Because I wanted to, but didn't.
Oh, it's bad.
Oh, no.
I'm going to say something that's going to be very meaningful to some of our listeners and mean nothing to most of our listeners. It's like a bad improv scene or bad improv set, I should say. All of it is around the interesting, like, they don't really spend a lot of time on the interesting stuff. It's more like, let's have the police talk to the wife after the fact. Let's do a flashback to them talking about things, maybe considering possibly doing this. And then there's, like, you know, 10 minutes of money shots.
Oh. There's a lot of 50s sci-fi like that, where it's like, okay, we have enough money to get you 8 minutes and 20 seconds of the giant hornet that this movie is actually about, so we're going to have to fill 65 minutes with people talking. Even The Blob is like that, yeah. And The Blob is a good one.
I just don't understand, though, because like they... And the fly head that he has looks really cool. Like, yeah. It looks awesome, you know, especially for 1958. Why is that being on screen longer a problem?
Maybe.
And it looks good. And it's not like a Bruce the Shark thing where it's like we can only show it shortly for you to think it looks good. Like, they do long shots of it, but only for about 10 minutes of the movie.
Maybe it's like, it was just like not practical. Like, maybe they couldn't breathe in it, or maybe it was super heavy.
I bet you're right.
Like, yeah.
So it's probably just
built of stone. Vince Bryce came back, Return of the Fly in 1959. He was not in The Curse of the Fly from 1965. That film didn't even get a home release until they did a box set in 2007. Yeah.
Good gravy.
Yeah.
This was 1986 and was followed by a sequel, The Fly 2, in 1989.
Eric Stoltz. I didn't see it.
I had no idea that existed.
I have no interest
in it. I'm pretty sure it's on our list.
What?
Shut the front door.
When I didn't double check our list, but I did, like, did this go to number one? And I think it did.
What?
John Getz is the only returning. It's about... I think
the son. Yeah,
he's
like raised by the whatever company that paid
Jeff
to do all of the work, and they're just waiting for his powers or whatever to mutate.
So it takes place in the future?
Yeah. Eric Stoltz is his son.
Okay.
I hope I never have to watch that.
There's a different
Tony, help us.
There's a different Ronnie for a minute.
But it's the same character but played by a different actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Dislike. I don't want anything to do with this. Unsubscribe. Oh, I guess it kind of makes sense if she's older because it's the future.
She would be like, I would say, if Eric Stoltz, maybe like 15 years in the future. Like,
okay.
15 to 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the list. We could draw it today.
Oh, God.
I almost just let it keep playing because I was lying down and comfortable. And it was like, do you want to watch The Fly too? It's like, kind of. It's not bedtime yet. Maybe. I was at the bed.
For whatever reason, Amazon did not suggest that to me right after it suggested Thinner.
I watched this on Max, and it suggested Friends.
Why not?
It's like, you need a palate cleanser. Yes.
That was a lot of goo. Do you want to...
Are you okay? We're just checking in.
This is not what you usually call up, Robin. This is a Mel Brooks production. At the time, Brooks Films was producing much more than just Mel's own movies. They had a big critical hit with David Lynch's The Elephant Man in 1980. And Mel Brooks was pretty hands-on, mostly in pulling the elements together. This went through a lot of writers and a lot of directors.
I'm sure.
And Mel Brooks was the one making those phone calls. But beyond the studio title, he did not want his name on screen, lest anyone think.
It's a comedy.
It's a comedy.
This is going to be a silly time.
Why wouldn't they? I mean, they saw The Elephant Man. Right? Like, they know.
Well, the audience has short memories.
Okay.
Yes, this is what you brought up. Jeff Goldblum, far down the list before they got to him. Mel Brooks' first choice was Pierce Brosnan.
What?
Okay, I can see it.
No way in hell.
I can see it.
Cronenberg said no.
Okay.
Cronenberg was like, absolutely not. John Malkovich declined the role.
He would have been great.
Yeah.
John Lithgow declined the role.
Nope, too gross.
The next...
Willem Dafoe.
The next, like, trio was Goldblum, Michael Keaton, and Richard Dreyfuss.
Dreyfuss? Good God.
Goldblum was the only one who was like, sure, put as much makeup on me as you want.
Yeah,
the other two of them were... No, they're still laughing. They're still
okay. Relax, it's a long, soundboard.
It's a long. So to recap, Camila thought she saw a spider above me. Took off her headphones and put them down on the button that makes a laugh sound. Came over, found there was no spider. We just had a big laugh about, what did I just say? Richard Dreyfuss. We were just laughing about the idea of Richard Dreyfuss doing this.
Terrible idea. So it was basically Jeff Goldblum was the most game.
Yes.
Cool.
And couldn't have gone better. As Camila said, he suggested, why don't you cast my girlfriend? And they didn't. Cronenberg especially wasn't into it, but she auditioned really, really well. And no one else nailed
great.
It. Because she's great. And they're great together.
Right. And it's also like, I mean... I might just be biased because I'm a tall woman, but it's like a height thing because he's so tall and she's tall too.
She's also
like,
tall, yeah.
Yeah, and if they brought somebody else, another actress in there, she would have been like super short and just would have felt weird.
Yeah.
Like it just, I don't know.
They're great again 2 years later in Earth Girls Are Easy.
That's true.
Yeah. What else? Oh, just mentioning that several completed sequences were cut out of this movie, which is good because it really moves along. The infamous one late in the Brundlefly stage when he's had the idea to use all three pods and make his hybrids, he tests that with the baboon and a cat.
Nope, absolutely not.
And makes a two-headed baboon cat thing. That's just that like the two heads are fighting and it's just a horrible.
Oh my God. And this makes the message I accidentally sent to my group chat instead of put in my podcast notes. Mm-hmm. That baboon is such a sprink, even more horrifying.
Things do not turn out well for the baboon cat.
That makes me want to cry.
I agree. I don't like this.
This
Thank
was
God.
Well, yeah, they showed it. This made it to test screenings and it just turned the audience so hard against him.
That it's like,
no. And also tested were several endings. There were endings where she kept the baby, where she didn't have the baby. In almost all the endings, she got together with Struther Martin. What the hell is his name? Stathis Boren.
Okay, I was going to ask about that because his last scene, it feels like such a, you're supposed to care about this guy now. And I'm like, no, melt him. Yeah. Melt the son of a bitch.
No, the one that was closest was they got together and she was still pregnant, but she had another dream and it was like a beautiful baby with butterfly wings.
No.
No.
I think they chose the correct answer.
Yeah.
Shoots him and the end. Like, right. That's a good, that more movies should not have the last scene.
Yes. So. Exactly. Fuck denouement.
Yeah, we don't need Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's good. We needed to know what happened next with the Ark and stuff. Other than that, same thing happened to The Shining, and the footage is lost.
Oh,
this movie is like a rabbit dog.
Like this. Yes.
Like seriously, it really left me uncomfortable in
it's
my.
It's so
skin.
Upsetting.
I used one of those two words. I said
dogs or rabbit.
Either upsetting or what did you say?
Rabbit dog?
No, harrowing. I said harrowing.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much like, you know, for 45 minutes, it's fun.
Yeah.
And then for half an hour, you're like, ew, gross. And then at the last fit, you're just devastated. It's just heartbreaking.
Yes. I weirdly also watched The Invisible Man, the old one with Claude Rains this week.
Mm-hmm. And Gloria Stewart.
Yes, that's right. And it's just sort of like, it's interesting how a lot of science fiction stories are basically the same.
Well, especially a lot of universal horror in that era, which I'm obsessed with, which the music in this is really like a universal horror movie. That's the stock plot of a universal monster movie is scientist goes too far, loses control, must be stopped.
I mean, because that's, you know, Frankenstein, which invented the genre, right? But I was surprised when I watched The Invisible Man. I had always written in my brain that the plot of that was that the Invisible Man becomes the evil that he is because of the isolation and body horror of losing his body, right? Or losing his visible body. But then in the actual plot, they're like, no, it's a side effect of the medicine that made it made you invisible, but also evil. And I'm like, that's so much less interesting.
Yeah.
And I think here they do a fucking great job of like, he doesn't go nuts because of flies having psychological problems. He goes nuts because he did something fully insane.
Yeah.
Like he did a godlike thing and that makes him crazy.
Well, the
and then his body melts, which also makes him crazy.
Well, the in-between stage is so good because if he just started melting, it would be like, oh, fuck that. Yeah. But because there's a period where
He's Spider-Man.
He gets to be like, this must make you Spider-Man. It's great. It's the best. Because he's already riding this high of, I think I'm God.
Right.
So,
I'm purified. I'm superhuman. Right?
Yeah. That's crazy. He comes off like really heavy, like a fucking drug dealer, drug pusher.
He's just very manic. Well, I'm bipolar, so I feel like I could say that. But like, he does all of the pressured speech and delusions of grandeur, although they're not really delusions. He did something insane.
Right. And that's another thing, like his pressured speech. Like there's a lot of a lot of things, which another thing why I think that Jeff Goldblum was a great choice for this character is like a lot of this like nonsense and that crazy talk that he was making, like a lot of that dialogue could not have been delivered as well right. and like spot on and precise as Jeff Goldblum has. Just like a lot of that little talking to himself bit.
It's little stammers.
Yeah.
Do you think when he voice activates his computer that the stammering is part of the voice activation?
What was that terrible? There's a terrible Netflix movie 2 months ago with Pierce Brosnan and.
Oh, I watched that.
What, they're like Adam Devine?
Yeah.
The only good bit is that to unlock the vent, you have to sing all the small things, but it only works if you sing it in the Blink-182 nasal voice.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think I should, I forgot to log that on Letterboxd. I did watch that movie.
It's easy to forget.
Yes.
Yeah, the machine just makes you Goldblum extra hard, which is amazing because his key Goldblum moment is cheeseburger with meaningless hand gestures.
Right. Well, there was something else that he said. Ah, fuck. And I don't think I wrote it down, but he says it, he repeats it, and then he does that Goldblum thing.
Yes. He loves to drop off his sentence like
yes.
that.
Yes. And I fucking love it. It's yeah. like a fucking skydiver, this guy.
How mad would you be if you brought over two really fucking nice steaks to somebody's house and then they were like, I'm going to do science with these?
I mean, I don't eat steak, so it doesn't.
I was slightly annoyed when my husband was cooking frozen pierogies last week and he was like, I'm going to cook half in the air fryer and half in the oven to see which come out better. And I'm like, okay, science.
No, don't you dare.
That means half of them aren't going to be as good.
I feel like the most horrifying moment in this movie is when she comes back to his place and he sits down to fucking play piano. It's like, oh, that's you're what, one of those.
That's when, like, that's when I wrote down, girl, run. I know this is bad.
That is the equivalent of, you know, college going back to some dude's room. And he's like, well, anyway, here's Wonderwall on his acoustic guitar.
Excuse me, that joke is now, here's Push by Matchbox 20. We've changed and updated the joke. I think the most, I had to stop and think about it. To me, the scariest moment here is when we watch Sterling K. Brown. What the fuck? Stathis Borens.
Stethoscope.
We watch him watching the video, and I was like, well, they filmed him eating, and it was so gross that even Cronenberg was like, no. We're not going to show him slurping up the food. Not going
to
do it.
I won't do this to you.
I thought the dream sequence could have gone.
Yeah.
The maggot dream. Like, I think we can establish that she's very nervous about what she's pregnant with without having this big goofy gummy worm come out of her.
Yeah.
And I was just, maybe it was an excuse for Cronenberg's, what do you call it?
Gynecological obsession.
That. as well as his cameo.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about this. So I saw this movie way too young. I watched it with my best friend in grade school's divorced dad. The dad had it on the weekends and he was the fun dad. And so we watched a bunch of inappropriate movies in that apartment. And this was one of them. And I think this might have been the first movie I ever watched that talked frankly about abortion.
Mm. Like, yeah, they used the word.
I had probably seen Dirty Dancing before this, but they used to edit around there being a central abortion plot on TBS.
Kind of the point of the film.
They used to like cut out all the direct references. And I was too young to know what was going on. Right. So I just remember that because at the time, I think my mom was working at Planned Parenthood and I was like, cool, young, pro-choice kid. And I was like, yeah, talk about abortions. Movie? I don't know. I thought it was cool.
Because that was
9-year old.
That was like the last the part of the production code that made it to the 90s, where just as a matter of course, people avoided saying the word abortion.
Yeah. Hmm.
People would say, are you going to take care of it? Are you going to see somebody? Should I call the doctor? And that's why that joke is in Knocked Up when Jonah Hill is like, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you should get a schmishmortion. Yeah. Should go to the schmishmortion doctor. It's a very, because I joked half, I forgot how this ended. And I was like, is she at all concerned that she's going to have flybees now? Because this happened and it's a smart place for the movie to go.
Yeah.
Because otherwise he can just be a fly and she can leave, you know? Like,
can he, though? It doesn't seem like he can.
Well, he doesn't have to be...
He can't just leave well enough alone.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be tied into her anymore.
Right.
Right? It's the thing that gets him to bust through not just glass, but glass block. Very effective. Is like, I need to preserve my offspring.
Right.
Without that, he doesn't have a reason to give a shit what she's doing at that point.
Yeah. It's
a true story. I appreciate when they do go see the doctor, he's like, in the middle of the night. And then she's like, yes, she's concerned about blah, blah, blah. But in the middle of the night.
It's 11:20. Come on.
That's true.
Anybody recognize or see that they kiss with their eyes open?
Yes. Why? And okay, so I was talking when Colin was watching about 10 minutes of it with me, and I was talking about, I don't know if they were already dating or if they met here or whatever, and I was like, I think this is one of, you know, people often say that real life couples don't have on-screen chemistry, and I was like, this is a counterexample. I don't really believe that to begin with, but I'm like, this is a strong counterpoint. And as I was saying that, they were making out with their eyes open. And then I was like, although that is weird.
That is very
They're both very hot. They want to keep looking at each other.
I want to look at your pupils.
If he had built a vent into that machine, we could have all seen his dick. But no, it was always foggy. This movie is really good. Like, you can nitpick. It's not, you know, I'm not going to give it as high a score as I gave Carrie. But I think it's the right director. It's a good story. It's mostly the two of them.
Yeah.
Because he's so good. They're both so good, but he acts so fly-ish, which is weird, because how does a fly act?
Right. But he convinces us that that's how a fly acts.
Like, yes, absolutely. That is what a fly
man That's what a fly man would do. It's just a brilliant...
And I was also, like, curious as to, like, if it was just, like, Goldblum's movements or if it was like a trick photography or whatever, but when she comes in and he's on the canes and he's got like this, like this, these just subtle, like very fly like movements that he's like doing and stuff. And it's like, I don't know. Like, is that just Goldblum being amazing?
I think if you said, hey, in a week, be a koala, he would be a really good koala.
How do you think they found the gymnast stunt double who is Jeff Goldblum sized? Because gymnasts are usually small.
That's a good question. I mean, maybe it... Did they make a slightly smaller set? To make that it probably, all line up?
That probably would have been easier.
I was waiting to find out that he learned all of that because he needed it to be correct. But no, it's very, very advanced.
I don't think that he could have done that.
No, it's too good.
But also, just going back to... Not Jeff Goldblum. Going to Seth... Fictional world. At what point when you wake up with superpowers are you like, I should try to do some gymnastics?
And she stares at him. Yeah. She stares at him silently the whole time. And it's like she's thinking, maybe this is just what he does after sex.
I mean, everyone
responds differently.
Right.
He's so weird.
Because it's like this whole everything just kind of happens within the span. It's less than a month, yes?
Yeah, it goes real. I mean, the movie goes fast and the story, like, this does not seem to take a lot of time.
No.
I think it could be as short as 2 weeks.
So, right. Yeah. So, which just brings me to one, I don't understand, like, why she felt like it just at the point when he was like, you're a fucking drag. I was like, all right. And that's the last time I saw Seth. Like, I don't need to go back to fuck all this noise. Like, I don't care how good the dick is, Veronica. And secondly, when did he have the time to build the third pod?
No, it was there at the beginning. Remember, there was one under a thing. And he's like, this one's a little clunky.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Because that was really bothering me. Because I saw his hands were fused together. Like, how could you have the time and ability to build a third pod?
Well, he put the first pod in the second pod and then hit the button. And then there were three pods. And then here's that trailer with the famous tagline.
I think you're making a mistake. I think you really want to talk to me.
Sorry, I have three other interviews to do before this party's over.
Yeah, but they're not working on something that'll change the world as we know it.
There is a limit, even to the imagination.
Human teleportation, molecular decimation, breakdown, and reformation is inherently purging.
Where our greatest creations meet our deepest fears.
Something went wrong, Seth. When you went through, something went wrong.
You are about to go beyond that limit.
Those weird hairs that were growing out of your back, I had them analyzed. but they were definitely not human.
You're afraid to be destroyed and recreated, aren't you?
You're changing, Seth. Everything about you is changing.
A fly got into the transmitter pod with me that first time when I was alone. Don't go back to it. Could be contagious.
I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid.
No, be afraid. Be very afraid.
Help me. Please, help me.
Did forget that she's not quoting something. We're all quoting her. I forgot that Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid is from this movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, that's right. When the old girl comes in, she's just like, yeah, I forgot to tell you I live with my mom. She's like, yeah, I gotta go.
Kind of love that character.
Yeah,
like she knows who she is and what she
really
wants.
Does.
Yeah.
She knew exactly what time it was. Like, yep, this is not my place. I'm gonna go.
Also, I kept thinking watching this movie about what hot shit I would have been in the 80s because my hair can get so fucking big if I want it to.
Mm-hmm. I like the bar scene a lot. I would like to point out that guy with the compound fractured arm, that was your fault.
Yeah.
Just take the L.
Yeah.
Like you were keeping your hand there.
Yep.
Just all you got to do is lose and then you still have an arm. Speaking of still having arms, Stathis Borins, load the gun before you get there.
Also,
he walks in and then is like, let me start getting this ready.
No.
Why does a magazine editor have a shotgun?
Maybe he hunts squirrels. I don't know.
In Manhattan?
Exactly. That, if anybody's going to hunt squirrels in Manhattan with a shotgun, it's Stathis Borat or whatever.
Stathis Borat from the movie The Fly. The Letterboxd list is elevated horror is nothing new. It is a very defensive list of the thoughtful, smart.
I think that's a great list. I want to look at it.
Everything on it is very good.
I think that this movie, I think this has completely gone out of style. But when I was first getting into movies in the 90s, there was a lot of remakes are bad.
Yeah.
Never remake anything.
Right.
And I'm like, this is, and I thought this even before I had seen the original. And now that I've seen the original, I want to double down. I'm like, obviously that's not true because The Fly exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, aren't you all grateful that we have this cool movie?
Sometimes it needs to be, something needs to be remade.
Right? And it's like, okay, what a really cool idea.
Mm.
And let's make it good this time.
Right, yeah. Like, they didn't have, like, the proper tools then.
Correct.
And so now we do in 1986, and let's get it done.
There's innumerable examples where it didn't work, and I'm sure we'll land on them again. But it's also true that, like, if you want to develop, I mean, there's plenty of young people that are aware of Freddy and Jason and Michael Myers and such that probably wouldn't if those franchises were not still alive. Like, if you, like, people are like, oh, this is ruining the original. No, it's making people aware of the original because not everyone is 40.
Yes. You know?
And there's plenty, that's all it is remakes and sequels these days. Go back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, the Maltese Falcon is a remake.
Right.
Wizard of Oz is technically a remake. Like, we've always been doing this.
Yeah.
You just want to be whiny, Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Who? Never mind. Is about to go on another shut up Scorsese. Okay. Again, he's saying we need to fight the comic book movies.
Sir.
And then the next... Oh, Marty said something. The story was he's very happy about Barbie and Oppenheimer, though he admits he has not seen either.
I only saw the first part of that headline, and I was like, yeah, me too. Obviously, I think Martin Scorsese is brilliant, but, like, I don't really care about his every passing thought about the state of modern cinema.
Exactly. Right. Like, Martin Scorsese is fucking farted. Like, I don't like, stop.
You've been ranting about how important it is to go see serious movies. And half the time when you're listing, whenever someone asks him to, well, who do you like? He mentions the Safdie brothers and Christopher Nolan.
Mm.
And Christopher Nolan had a 3-hour serious movie out and you didn't go see it? You
right.
Who's telling us to go see all of the serious movies? Shut up.
Also, just shut up. Because, like Marty, nobody, you are not hurting for movie for box office dollars,
yeah.
Like, in any way, shape, or form. Like, if he stops making movies today, you are fine.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Also, he wants to make movies, and he does, and it doesn't matter that they don't make money. People keep giving him more money to make movies because he's Martin fucking Scorsese.
Right.
Yeah.
And yay!
Right.
Great. It all worked out.
Yeah. Live your life and just be.
If he were saying all this, we got to fight the comic book movies so that people who don't have my pedigree can make interesting and cool movies, I would feel much more... a certain kind of way about it, but right. it doesn't seem to be the message.
No, right. he's saying so that we could have the 70s again.
Yes.
Right. With the same guys. I don't know. Yep. I hope your sad Indian movie is good. We'll find out.
I will be really disappointed if I don't like that movie.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, and I love Lily Gladstone.
They're talking Oscar. Talking Oscar for her. Let's give a number to The Fly. It suffers every time I go like, oh, I really wish I wasn't looking at this right now, but it's really good. Probably like 88. Robin,
I'm gonna go 90.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this fucker's just unhinged the last 30 minutes. So 84.
I can't believe I'm the highest on this.
Right?
I really like Cronenberg.
Really?
I just vibe with him. Like, huh. I like even some of his bad movies that people, like, I love Existence, right? Like,
I've been meaning to watch that.
I love it. I loved Crimes of the Future. I just vibe with Cronenberg. What can I say?
Was Crimes of the Future the one with Viggo and he's getting unnecessary surgery?
Well, no, they seem to be kind of necessary, but him turning his surgery into sexy performance art is not necessary.
What?
I like that there's a second one now.
What is that?
Brandon Cronenberg.
Oh, sure. I haven't seen any of his stuff.
His son, who keeps trying, keeps trying to go even farther.
See, now that's the mistake.
No, you're not gonna top him.
He went too far. You find a different path.
Yeah.
But his Brandon Cronenberg's movie this year was pretty good, Infinity Pool.
Oh, yeah. I keep scrolling past that and being like, should I watch this?
I mean, it's not a must see.
Yeah.
It's if you're curious, go right ahead. I didn't say what the number was. The number was 87 1/3. That is just shy of that top 10 I listed earlier. It is not quite there, but very, very close. We like The Fly. Will we get 3 horror classics? We'll find out later. But first, it's time for the other name of the segment. I've been busy. The number one movie. No, that's this one.
Bingo.
You can't handle the truth.
Bingo, bingo, bingo.
Bingo. It's time for bingo.
Which I don't think we have anything.
I don't think we have anything either.
Corporate job? Okay.
What's this science company?
Bracker.
It sounds...
Brackenridge.
It sounds like he's working for...
I would say that he is an independent... scientist with funding from a corporation,
like right?
Yeah,
I like the part where he's like, freelance. I'm cheap and I don't talk to them,
right?
You know, my husband's an academic. I'm like, that sounds really true. Although he can't be that cheap. Baboons are fucking expensive.
Yeah.
I got that meant he requires very little salary or
okay
benefits. He doesn't seem to eat or other than cheeseburger. No, I got nothing.
All right, well,
flesh.
What?
Joe Cocker.
Sorry.
By the way, if you listen to the last episode, there's a in the guessing, there's a point where Camila just kind of jerked her body around and went, and we couldn't figure out. And then
17 minutes later, you
after the recording, we learned it was Joe Cocker. And the impression was very accurate.
So accurate.
Why did you yell flesh?
Because that's what I was talking about when he says, when they talk about the making the flesh crazy.
During the steak science.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. When he's like the making. I have to teach it to learn how to be crazy for the flesh.
But I don't know why that reminded me, but by the way, the baboon was very unruly, and
that's what baboons are like.
It was Jeff Goldblum's job to corral it because he's very, very tall and masculine, and the baboon respected Jeff Goldblum more than anyone else on the set.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Baboons are fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
I used to live in South Africa, and when you drive out of the city, there are baboons. And so when any place that has baboons, they have signs that are like, do not approach the baboons.
Don't make eye contact.
And they will break your car open.
Oh, shit.
They are strong. They travel in a troop.
No,
they work
you.
Together, and they are bloodthirsty.
No,
they are,
thank
and
you.
I will never forget the time that I was driving to the Cape of Good Hope with my friend Vicky, and there were so many baboons in the road, and it was like, do we turn around?
They're praying to whatever entity you believe in, right? Basically. Are they carnivorous?
I think so. They will rip you apart if you stand between them and something they think they can eat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know that they does. I mean, yes, I get they're bloodthirsty right. and they're vicious murderers, but I don't know, like, do they eat what they kill?
I don't think they're going to eat a person.
Yikes. That's reassuring.
Nothing should reassure you about baboons.
Just rip your fucking head off.
Yeah,
rip
do not fuck around
out.
With baboons.
No,
I will keep it in mind.
Thanks.
Did I ever tell you about the gorilla coming at me at the zoo?
No, what? That sounds awful.
So I'm standing at the zoo in the monkey house, and the lady gorilla is leaning on the glass, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm just like, oh, what a lovely rare opportunity to observe this
magnificent creature
up close. And I'm just standing calmly, and then the man gorilla starts kind of sauntering over, like he's not really looking at me, he's just kind of like getting a little. I'm like, wow, two magnificent creatures. What? He literally does a fake out, like he comes right up next to me and he like turns and looks at the wall and he's like picking a little piece of paint off, just, and then hurls his body directly at me, like into the glass, like boom.
Oh my god.
And then runs back and turns around and stares at me like, you get the message, motherfucker? I'm like, all right, fine.
And that's the last time I've been to the zoo.
Standing too close to your lady, and I get the message now. Late on a later visit, they had a message up that's like, such and such likes to play tricks on visitors. It's like, my soul left my body. Like, when a gorilla jumps at you, the part of your brain that's like, there is glass in between you and it will not break, is gone. You're like, I'm going to die now, and it's my fault.
So Jean would like to apologize to that troop of kindergartners that he trampled.
It's the second most harrowing thing that's happened to me at the zoo. Anyway, you can't handle the truth. That's what comes next.
Yeah, there it is.
How about Saw X?
Yeah, dude. I'm here for it.
It's really good.
It's so good.
Like, it's not at the top of my franchise ranking because it is, you know, a deep sequel. But, like, pound for pound, like, which of these Saws is the best film?
Yeah.
It might be the best one.
I think so. Like, my only beef is like the ending of it. Like,
yeah,
the last shot, like the last 5 minutes or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
but yeah.
Fuck denouement.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, I could see that kind of gives them more material for more sequels or whatever. But I really like the deep dive into John Kramer. I like, you know, bringing back some like nods to like the older characters, and it's just more story based than more character based, character driven.
Well, and this is the most time we've ever had with him.
Yeah,
because even, you know, in the movies where he's up and around, which is only a few of them, like we spend half the time with the victims.
Right.
He's not in the room the whole time like he is in this, and it reveals that he reminds us, I should say, that he's just an excellent actor.
Yeah.
Who I love watching.
Yeah, Tobin Bell like gets all the props because he's really good at his job.
Yeah.
And I guess one of the things that the filmmakers were dedicated to with this one was to making sure that all the traps look like something that you could buy from Home Depot, and that's like a direct quote.
That's actually, I really like that.
Well, he's in Mexico and he kind of has to throw it together. He doesn't have all of his stuff with him.
Yeah, I had some questions about that, about customs and Amanda and, you know, timelines.
Amanda's got a lot to answer.
But I would highly recommend anybody, like, it almost kind of works too as a standalone-ish, like, I feel like you could.
This and the original are the only ones that you're like, you can watch it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I cannot believe that my decision to watch the other 9 movies paid off. Like, this is the only time this could have possibly happened. Also, very proud to own the popcorn tin with the glowing eyes.
Right on.
Sometimes.
Is that what that was left on your car? A popcorn tin? Or
yeah. You can buy a whole, what's his name? Billy? Bobby? Yeah, Tommy?
Billy.
Billy the puppet head with eyes that glow. That's a popcorn tin. Or you could for 5 minutes at Cinemark before they sold out. And sometimes a novelty. And I left it on the kitchen counter to scare the shit out of Mary Beth.
That would work.
It was very successful.
Your new fiance, Mary Beth.
Who still agreed to marry me a week later.
Congratulations, Sean.
Thank you.
He's all grossed up.
Only took 7 years of this relationship for me to get around to it. Sorry, there was a pandemic. A lot happened. No, we got betrothed at Halloween Horror Nights, and it was very, very nice.
So sweet.
Very appropriate.
So Saw 10, good. Exorcist, whatever. The Exorcist Believer, not as good, but also fine. What's everybody's problem? I haven't seen this. I didn't know people had problems. Oh, people are furious.
Wait, why?
This is like a 2.3 on Letterboxd right now. Because... And I feel like everyone is saying, like, this doesn't compare to the original.
Well,
I'm like,
of course it doesn't.
Yeah. The original is The Exorcist.
Right.
What do you want? There's some kids get possessed. Some holy people show up to yell religious words at them. What did anyone expect? You know, Mary Beth and I both liked it. We both walked out like, oh, good. Good job. I want to see the next one. And went online to find the whole world shitting on it.
Damn.
And it's like... Come on. I mean, you can tell me, like, you don't like David Gordon Green's style with horror movies, whatever. Like, it's 50 years later.
Oh, it's that guy?
Yeah.
That's the guy who did the new Halloween.
Right.
Oh, so that's like his thing?
That's his thing now.
Okay.
Although they're talking about pulling him off of it. They're still going to do at least two more movies because Universal paid something like $400 million for The Exorcist, right?
Oh, shit.
But he might not be involved, which I don't care if he is or I don't care if he isn't. This is one of those situations where I'm like, did I go and you did Exorcist things for 2 hours? Great, I'm fine.
Yeah, like, I have no interest in seeing this movie, so I'm not gonna. I feel like people who are gonna be mad that it's not as good as the original Exorcist would probably just opt out.
It looks really scary to me. Like, the Exorcist, the original one really fucked me up.
Yeah, that movie is fucking scary. So you have a particular sensitivity to
religion. Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I want to see this, but I don't want to see this. So I don't know where I am yet.
We did it, and we walked through the Exorcist Believer haunted house the next night.
I saw those pictures.
Yeah.
That was a really cool set.
That was cool.
Robin, we'll get to you eventually. Now, Camila, let's talk about Pet Sematary Bloodlines.
There's another Pet Sematary?
It's a prequel.
It's a prequel. And here's what really bothered me.
Why are we doing this?
It's a prequel to the remake because they're like, it says in the thing 50 years earlier or whatever, and they're talking about Vietnam. And I'm like, Vietnam wasn't 50 years before 1988 or whatever. Right. I'm like, oh, you're a prequel to the remake. That's fucking dumb.
Right.
What? One, it's just not interesting.
No, it is very uninteresting. And also, I feel like we covered the story fine in whatever the dude tells it, like, in Pet Sematary, he's like, yeah, Billy or whatever came back wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, done. Thank you. That's all we needed to know.
There were a few chapters of the book about that, and they're like, technically, this is Stephen King material that no one's adapted. Get on it. But they couldn't even do that. Like, that kid's barely in it.
Yeah.
The one that's actually based on it's mostly kids that look and act like they're kids from now, but are meant to be kids in 1969, running around and jump scaring each other.
Yeah. Like, when it started, when I hit play, I was like, oh, it starts with David Duchovny burying his kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, David Duchovny, because I had like really just kind of glossed over what it was about and who was in it. So I was like, oh, this might not be. And then I see Harry Thomas, like, oh, Harry Thomas is the dad. All right.
Who's
then
Harry Thomas?
Elliot from E.T.
Henry Thomas.
Henry, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. But
I like him, though.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, this is great. Okay. But they don't give them enough to do in this movie, and the script is just it was just unnecessary.
And Pam Grier.
Oh,
you made Pam Grier leave the house.
Thank you. That is exactly what I said. I was like, you called Pam V. Grier up, and you made this woman get on a fucking plane
to be like the third most important in the we gotta stop the thing posse.
She likes to work.
Which I'm very excited she's coming to Steel City Con in December.
Ah.
Oh, fun.
So yeah, don't watch that. I'll close just by saying, completely coincidentally, I watched The Dead Zone immediately before I watched The Fly, which is the movie Cronenberg made immediately previously to The Fly.
Sure. I always forget that's Cronenberg.
It's pretty good. Christopher Walken is great. Christopher Walken is so good in that movie.
I should watch that movie again.
I've been trying to watch. I was trying to watch that all summer. For whatever reason, I just kept falling asleep. So I've seen the first 15 minutes, and yes, Christopher Walken is great.
It's, and also watching that in a pet cemetery made me go, huh, Stephen King is really worried about getting hit by a truck. Yeah. And then he was run over on his bike.
Wait, I was going to say, didn't that actually happen to him?
Yeah, like in the early 2000s, really? he got run over on a mean road in Maine. So.
Yeah, he brought that on himself.
Yeah, no. Anything else from you, Camila?
I watched Strays, and I wish
I still haven't.
And I wish I hadn't.
What is that?
The dogs.
Will Ferrell's a foul-mouthed
dog. Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, and you know what? And what's really jacked is, like, I watched it because Dan wanted to watch it, and it was Dan's birthday.
Oh, and happy birthday, Dan.
Yeah, and he was all like, you know, he makes, like, this joke, like, oh, I'm Professor, our dog wants to watch it, too, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we're all watching it, and it's just, like, a lot of fucking just gross toilet humor and, like, fuck jokes and dick jokes, and it's just not that funny. Like, there were moments where, like, the funniest thing, there was a joke where the dogs are on their adventure, and this was the hardest I laughed, and the one dog is like, all right, I'm going to tell a joke, knock, knock, and they're all like, whoa, 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 and they're like, bark. And they're, she's like, no, you got to let me get to the point. She's like, who's there? And she's like, knock, knock, woo, 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 woo. She's like, let me get through the joke. He's like, it's the joke. You got. There's like, nothing funny about people at the door. But that movie was gross, and I did not enjoy my time. It was even one point where our dog got up and left. And I was like,
this is not even entertaining me.
He said something about tokenism and tropes, and it's just like he wasn't impressed. And I saw something that I thought I saw years ago, but I had not. But Dawn of the Dead from 2004.
Zack Snyder, Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, it was good.
It's good.
I liked it a lot.
That's one of the ones that works.
Never saw that one.
Yeah,
is it Fast Zombies?
No.
Okay. Good.
No.
Good.
And his old girl, what's her name?
Sarah Polley. Yeah. Academy Award winner Sarah Polley.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. Well, that's it. That's what I watched.
Robin?
I haven't actually watched any new movies and everything. You know, I already talked about The Invisible Man and the original Fly. So no one wants to hear what I have to say about Going My Way. But I only have 8 Best Pictures left, so Going that's exciting. Way. It's a Best Picture winner with Bing Crosby in it. It's about saving a church.
Oh, I was hoping it was a Frank Sinatra documentary.
No, but I just want to say, I feel like there should be a warning before you watch a TV show based on a book if it's just a TV show and not a limited series. Because I watched The Other Black Girl.
Oh.
Sure that it was a limited series.
It should have been.
And then it ended and her eyes have disappeared inside of her head. I want to know more. I want to know the end of the story.
Dude, just fucking read the book. Like,
read the book?
I read the book, and also I was not impressed with the book.
The
book's it's like, it feels like, you know, a lot. And there are some of us out there, black women, who have read this book and did not like it, and we feel like traitors and blah, blah, blah. But
I felt that way about Things for Women generally a lot, often. I know that feeling.
It's just not, it's not good. I don't like the main character. I didn't like her choices. And just like, it's not really necessarily anything with the writing style, but the story in itself, I'm just like, and I was finding the same thing. Like, I tried to watch the show, and I also thought that it was supposed to be a limited series.
Yeah.
I got like 3 episodes in. I was like, why am I doing this? Like, I don't need to be here.
So, I really enjoyed it.
I opted out.
It's like, I very much enjoyed it. It's so fucking stressful because it's just like microaggressions and awkward personal interactions, the show.
Yeah.
And then also something sinister is going on. Right.
It's
like, it, even without the something sinister going on, that would be a fucking stressful show.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like, and if I hadn't read the book, maybe I would have felt a little bit differently because I know what's coming and I know what's, you know, so I have no stakes. I have no dog in this race kind of thing.
Should I read the book? Keep in mind, I don't read. But
this is probably going to put you on another 20-year reading hiatus if you read the book.
I think the author, like, co-created the show.
Mm.
So once I was thinking about it, when I found out that it was a show, I was like, this book is incredibly 2021. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, is very much a being a black woman right after people kind of lose steam on caring about black people again.
Right.
And I feel like she was like, I have a lot more to say about that in 2023. And I think that that's probably why they made it a series. So she could like expand the story.
Maybe.
And I respect that artistically, but as a viewer, I want Closure.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be like several seasons.
Yes. Also, it's a fucking streaming show and there's a strike. Like, who knows if it will ever right. actually come back.
True.
Exactly. Speaking of, I'm still pissed that they canceled Kindred.
They canceled Kindred?
Yes.
I don't watch the show, but like, what? Why are they canceling? I guess it's because strikes and because streaming doesn't make any money, but God, yeah, things streaming are just getting services fucking canceled.
What do you do and what do you want? Why are you? Like, we went through 5 years where it was like, oh, the goal of these streaming services is that eventually everything will be somewhere, and as long as you're paying for
right.
Max, Disney, Netflix, and Peacock, I guess, right. like everything you'll ever want to watch will be on one of the four of them. And now they're like, you just get some things some of the time. Yeah. I'm like, so cable, you're just doing cable again.
Right. It's expensive and complicated cable.
Yep.
Robin, why, you who do not like these things, how did you come to decide it was a Jason Day and pick maybe the worst one? We watched probably the worst one that
this is much better than the one that we watched. I watched Jason Takes Manhattan. Because that title is so fucking funny. That's like, I gotta tell you, that is truly why I chose to watch
it. Did you think it was a musical?
It would have been better if it was. But my main comment about that movie is that the geography is absurd. Makes no sense.
Get on a cruise ship to go to New York from... from New York-ish?
And down a rocky coast. And also, what is that boat? Why is it? It's like
it looks like the boat you would have prom on, but people are traveling on it.
I mean, it looks, there are like parts of it that are very like industrial. Like, is this a fishing trawler? And then there's a steam sauna with hot rocks. Like, what? Just so somebody can horribly die with it. Right. Clearly, obviously. Yes. Bad movie.
Bad movie.
I don't regret watching it.
Bad movie. Did you move on? You were like, should I watch Jason Goes to Hell or Jason X? I'm like, neither. Part four. The one with Corey Feldman. That's the one where it all comes together.
Oh, I'll consider it. I don't know.
Are you guys aware of the real story that these movies are based off
no,
of?
No, what?
Jason?
No.
Apparently some bunch of kids went camping in Finland in like the 70s and got murdered. And they never really found out who did it or what happened. There were three suspects. And so that's like,
did we talk about
based.
That when we did a Jason movie?
Because, I don't think so. Okay, because I just found out.
Oh, like, I was going to say, it sounds like something like I should have remembered.
Yesterday. It's a lovely little series called The Shocking Truth on Pluto that I found last week. And there's all of these like horror movies that like, these are the real life killers that these are based on.
Oh, that sounds so fun and awful.
I know that you can do a Camp Crystal Lake overnight experience in...
No, thank you.
How cute was it that the Buffalo Bill House congratulated you on your engagement? Right? We do weddings.
Right?
Very cute. Little thirsty Buffalo Bill's House. I've been engaged for 20 minutes. Also, we're not bringing all of our family and friends to Periopolis. I'm sorry. It's a little out of the way. It's an inconvenient drive, but...
You don't want to say your I do's in the well? The bottom of it?
You can honeymoon there.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll rent it for a couple days afterwards. Let's draw a third spooky movie. What can possibly follow? What can complete the trifecta? We've done Carrie. We've done The Fly.
I'm bracing for something horrible.
We'll close it out with Hotel Transylvania 2.
No. Do I have a veto?
You do.
Yeah.
Veto.
Yay!
Exercise my veto, man.
What a waste.
People like him. A lot of famous voices. I mean, you didn't necessarily save us. There's still two more Hotel Transylvanias.
What?
On this list.
Why?
And we don't have a veto left. We are stuck with The Messengers.
I don't know what that
is. I don't know what that is.
From 2007?
I know what The Messenger from 2009 is.
Sounds like a band. Yeah, I know. The Messenger. That's what came up. Oh, fun. It's what's her butt?
Kristen Stewart.
Yeah. I have never heard of this movie.
No, the 2007 supernatural horror film directed by the Pang Brothers.
How did this get on the list? It's 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
No, no one has heard of this film. Does it exist?
Produced by Sam Raimi. All right. Stars Kristen Stewart, Dylan McDermott, John Corbett. ominous darkness that invades a seemingly serene sunflower farm in North Dakota.
Sunflower farm?
Got to grow them somewhere.
All right, let's find out.
Is it...
anywhere?
Yeah, make sure it's streaming.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't vanished.
I did want to say, while you're figuring that out, something that is streaming now is The Empty Man. Have you either of you seen that?
Still haven't.
Okay, it's like a recent, slowly growing cult horror movie.
And your friend's in it.
And I was going to say, my friend Rob Coots plays the empty man. So oh, yeah. You should watch it. He's just a spectral figure. But and it's also
it's on Hulu.
If you do watch it, know that the person who is playing the empty man is the goofiest person you'll ever meet.
It's nice. Isn't that nice? And that works out.
Right. It's center yourself.
You know, the bride at the scare house in every marketing, there's a screaming, mm-hmm. angry bride. Mm-hmm. More terrified of going through a haunted house than anyone I've ever met.
Really?
I've gone through with her. Kat Kersting is her name. She's a very talented performer and a very talented makeup artist who plays the bride. And I have gone through the scare house with her on several occasions when I worked there. And she is legitimately petrified.
Wow. You've never gone through with me and you never will. Mm-hmm. I can't handle those things.
Same. Me neither.
Can't do it.
I don't.
Do it. I would do it every day. just proposed outside of one. So
no, gracias.
So we'll come back next time when we report to you on what The Messengers is. Is this real? We don't know. Before then, The Fly was released August 15th, 1986. What was the number one song in America? 86. I was 1 year old.
Whitney Houston.
I was 10.
No, not Whitney Houston.
Michael Jackson.
No.
The Bengals.
Oh, good guess.
No.
Is it, are we looking for a single artist or a band?
Another solo artist.
Solo artist.
You were right early on going for the icons.
Gloria Estefan.
No.
Madonna.
Correct.
Okay.
Like a Virgin.
I think that's a little earlier.
Yeah. Papa Don't Preach.
Ooh.
Nice.
An abortion song.
Right on brand.
Everything is about abortion.
Comes right around.